Welcome to 5.0, Fivefold and Beyond with Matt
and Amy.
In the 5.0 podcast, we're going to peel back the layers of the Ephesians 4 model, revealing a thriving church, ministry, or organization. This will help leaders to identify, work together, and implement or raise up the believers who want to move in their calling.
We also offer seminars, conferences, and strategic advising to pastors and leaders. We'll sit down with you and help you to learn how to have a fivefold influenced church or organization. Also, how to identify and integrate people with fivefold giftings into your teams and into your organization. So connect with us at ihimtv.com. That's ihimtv.com.
So get ready to engage as these podcasts will open an understanding, remove confusion of the fivefold, and open your eyes and heart to what you and those around you carry. Hello, everybody. How are you doing? This is Matt. And someone else is off camera today.
Hi, it's Amy.
And everybody can hear her, I'm sure. But obviously, we have a guest that we're going to be interviewing today, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. And we want to introduce him to you. He's got an amazing story. And also, just testimony, this is evangelist Herb Desjardin. Did a lot of things, and we're going to talk about some of that today. Come on in. Share off camera. You're okay.
So we want to start. Well, if you're just listening to the audio, you will have no idea that I'm actually off camera
for those.
However, we've got our special guest, Evangelist Herb, here today, and he has a great story to tell. And unlike maybe a lot of minister stories, it didn't start right out of high school. And so tell us maybe a little bit about the beginning of your journey when you found Jesus. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, it was a rough road when I started, you know, at 29 years old, I got hit with depression and fear. And it crippled me. I mean, it was amazing. And at 39 years old, my sister, which was a born-again Christian, tried to get me to come to, you know, witness to me, whatever, but she was a pain. She was...
Sisters often are.
Of course, I was a very strict Catholic, and there's no way that I wanted her in my house. Anyways, finally, she kind of found her way to really cause me to say yes to something. There was a Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship International in Hartford, Connecticut, and she called me on a Friday night. We used to gamble all the weekend. And she says, Percy and I want to bring you for breakfast, and we're buying you breakfast. And so that kind of hit me.
And you can't refuse a free breakfast.
I couldn't refuse that. So finally I said, yes, my wife, we'll pick you up at 7 o'clock. Wow. After playing cards all night, I had to go to bed about 2 or 3 o'clock. And so 7 o'clock they came at the door. And my wife didn't want to go. She wasn't dressed. She was upset. Said, my sister's kind of pushy. And so, anyways, so finally Betty got on her case. My sister got on her case, and she went and got dressed. And we went. You know, a little late. We got there in Hartford, from Bristol to Hartford, about a half hour late. And the place was full. There's about 250 people there. It's Valley Steakhouse. Big restaurant. Anyways, they put up another table, and now I'm feeling very nervous. I look at these people, and I said, these better be Catholics. I mean, it was like, I was very religious. I mean, and so we sit down, have breakfast, and all at once, they start praising God. They start worshiping, and I'm feeling very uncomfortable. And I thought to myself, these people, there better be Catholics here, you know. Then people started raising their hand, praising God. And now you really get nervous. What did I get into? What did my sister do? And so anyways, now they have, of course, a guest speaker comes out. Luke Sanford was a donut man in Avon. And he was the guest speaker. He came up, gave his testimony. And that was pretty good. I don't remember much of the testimony. But at the end, they had an altar call, which the table, the head table is full of Full Gospel Business and people. Yeah,
I remember those days.
And they would call us up, people that wanted to come up for prayer, accept Christ. And so there's no way I was going up. There's quite a few people got up and went up. No way was I going up there. And so I'm nervous. I'm sweating. My palms are sweating. My sister comes up. Herb, I'll go with you. Come, you know, I'll go. But you
he needs
and
a little
Jesse,
bit of help.
You and Jesse, whatever, come on up. No, I'm not going. And so she got very bushy. So Percy, her husband, said, leave him alone, because I was on the verge of leaving.
Yeah. Mm.
And so finally, she left me alone. And all at once, this one man in the front of that table, Full Gospel man, kept staring at me. It was quite a ways out. And so he gets up, he's coming towards me. I don't know how I know that he was coming to me. And so he was interrupted here and there and came up and gave me his hand. He said, my name's Frank Silly. I said, how are you? My name's Herb Desjardins, my wife Jessie. And anyways, he started talking about confessing, and I was used to confession. Every 2 weeks, I would go to confession.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that hit me. Then he quoted a scripture I'll never forget. He says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believe into righteousness, and with the mouth confessing is made unto salvation. And he went on and shared about how to get saved. And somehow, confession hit me. And when I got up to pray, we asked us if we could pray. He got up. It seemed like I didn't have to tell him how many times, how long I haven't been to confession.
Right, right.
How many sins that I did. Yeah. All of that was erased. I was speaking face to face to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And I accepted Christ. My God, I still remember. It really hit me. But now, okay, we leave. We get in the car to go back home. So my brother-in-law is driving. I'm in the front seat. So all at once, my eyes are closed. And I remember when I was in a catechism class way back, a nun had said, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. And so my eyes are closed, and all at once I hear in my spirit, I am that temple. I now dwell within you. You will never curse my name in vain again. You will never smoke again, and you'll never gamble again. And I went, oh. I mean, it
that's
really
a lot.
Hit me. So my brother said, are you okay? I said, take me home.
Yeah, it's heavy.
And so we got home. I get in the house, and I'm pondering on what I heard. As soon as we get in the house, my wife is sitting there, and she's getting ready to go grocery shopping. And she wants to play a game card. So we sit there, takes out the cards, stop playing. She smoked more than I did, but we both smoked. She was 14 when she started, and I was about 17 anyways. So she lights a cigarette and takes a couple puffs, stops it, takes another one, lights it, takes a couple puffs, stops it. And she says, something wrong with my cigarette. Give me one of yours. We smoked the same brand. I gave her one of mine, and I'm kind of looking at her and saying, she lights the cigarette, takes a puff, stubs it, and says, this thing smells like a skunk. I'm going grocery shopping. I'm not buying cigarettes. If you wanted to buy cigarettes, you have to buy your own. Oh, my God. I'm saying, what is going on? From that day, that was broken.
And it was broken.
When I think about, I lost friends playing cards. It was an amazing transformation in my life. But now,
how old were you? How old were you then?
At that time, I was 39
years old.
And so now, at that point, I had a two-family house. A young lady and her husband upstairs with a two-year-old son. And, you know, I, one day, you know, through the week, I'm kind of like, I'm thinking, I'm not smoking, but maybe it's because I'm sick, because I was like, but my right. wife hasn't touched it. She, no way, you know, and we had tried before, we couldn't quit. So now, the woman upstairs comes down and she asked us if she, if we could watch over her son, watch her son for a few minutes. She had something to do. I said, sure, come on in there. He comes in. She goes back upstairs. Her husband's in the backyard washing his car or whatever. And all at once, she goes up and I hear, a, you know, bang. She had a gun. She put the barrel in her mouth. Oh. And she blew her head off. And I was like, of course, I, my fears got worse even after I accepted Christ. That week was the worst week of my life.
That's huge. That's
and the
a
best
big trauma.
Oh. And best week of my life. And so I didn't, couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. And so now the next, the following night, I, you know, I went to work, came home. I told my wife I couldn't sleep and I'm going for a walk. So a lot of things were happening because I had a rosary on my neck, very Catholic. Now it was gone, and I'm getting, it's very puzzling what's going on. So I think I'm kind of going nuts here. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
So now I go out in the woods. I told my wife I'm going for a walk. Went out in the woods. I love the woods anyways. I walk a ways out there, and I stop, and I said, Lord, I don't know what happened Saturday, but if this is all real, what's taking place, I can't take anymore. You know, take me home. And I started weeping, and I said, I just can't take anymore. So take care of my prayer was take care of my wife and children. But all at once, of course, I wasn't going to commit suicide. I knew enough about being a Catholic. But all at once when I said that, His presence came on me, and this presence from the top of my head, when it got to my shoulders, I couldn't feel the weight. My head went all the way down to the ground. I lost all body weight. I couldn't feel any body weight, nothing. And so I thought, oh my God, I used to watch Star Trek. I thought I'm going to get beamed up. but, you know, I was, you know, so all at once, I hear His voice, and the Lord said, for you are a holy people unto me, the Lord your God. I've chosen you to be a special people unto myself.
Yep.
Above all the people on the face of the earth, there has never been one like you. And after you're gone, there will never be another like you. There was a purpose for your life. The enemy came to rob it, but I have sent my only son to restore it. And you are mine. I never wept like this in all my life. I'm weeping and crying. And I hear that voice. And at the end of that, he said, you know, there'll never be another one like you. And so he said, you are mine. You're mine. And he kept saying, and then it faded. As it faded, I started to feel the ground again and lift off of me. Now I am kind of like, I was afraid to turn to my right. I said, what is going on?
Yeah.
I walk home. My wife says, how you doing? I said, oh, okay. I went and sat in the living room. And I'm thinking to myself, now, who do I was going to go, may as well maybe go see the priest and see, you know, talk to him. But then I figured he's going to send me to the hospital. And so I think, you know, now I'm hearing voices. I'm not just depressed and have anxiety. Now I'm schizophrenic. I'm hearing voices. Oh, my God. So, but the one thing about the smoke and my wife, with me, I felt, you know, I just didn't feel good. Maybe that's why I didn't want to smoke. Mm-hmm. But my wife hadn't touched it, never, nothing. So I went to bed. My daughter had been given, she was 14. My sister that was born again that brought us to full gospel had got 2 weeks before got her a Bible. I don't know how I knew that. And she had it in the living room. At 2 o'clock, I went into her bedroom, rather. I go into her bedroom on the dresser. Mm-hmm. I picked up this white Bible. I go in the living room and I open it up to the Old Testament. I can't pronounce it even. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6 comes out of the page. And it says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself." And I started shaking. Mm. I'll never forget that. But the key, I'll never, you know, he brings me then to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I look in the back of the book. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And from that day, I lifted that Bible and I said, "Lord, from this day forward, whatever man says, if it's not found here, I'll not believe it.
Yeah.
This is your word and I'll follow it all the days of my life." I'll never forget that. This thing's about stuff, about metals and stuff that I had, I mean, gone. I mean, there's no way that I'm. And so if it was in a Bible, I believe it. So it changed my whole life. And then that's when, you know, I started actually ministry right there. I started sharing what I've seen. I started sharing what I heard. I started sharing about smoking. My wife and I, she was a witness to it. And so my home was open and people would come and get saved just like that. I mean, did I know scripture? No. Did I know? No. I just knew what happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I started on a journey sharing. And it got so up to that my living room became full and there's no room. So I rented the American Legion Hall in Plainville. And we were there for a whole year. Every Saturday night, we would meet there. A lot of people came. A lot of people from here came to the Lord. And they found out and came. And then one night, this was so funny because there were people, there was a bar next door, and they would come in and laugh at me or whatever.
Sure.
And I was ministering. But one guy came in, and he's mocking me, whatever. And he comes in and says, "Come on in." I invited him, sat in the second seat. He's laughing at me, and I said to him, I'll never forget that, "If you allow me to pray for you, you will experience something you never experienced in your life. It'll be better than the drink you have in your hand." I'll never forget that. And the guy, I didn't know that he had a short leg. I didn't know that he had problems, whatever, nothing. But he accepted. I prayed for him. And I don't remember if he accepted the Lord, but I know I laid hands on him and he went flying. He went down. When he got up, he started running around the place. And they could tell his pant leg was now all the way up, and his legs had came together.
Healing.
I mean, healed. He was like running back and forth. But anyways, we were there for a year. The amazing thing is one day, one Saturday night, we get there, and somebody had rented the place. I go in the bar, and I tell, "I want to see the manager." And so the lady said, "He's not here." I said, "Well, they promised me I'd have it every Saturday night. What's going on?" You know, "Well, I'm sorry, but they want, you know, they got it. So maybe you could use the back room," but there was all junk in there. Mm. Anyways, I said to her, "Listen, you didn't rent this to me. You were renting this place to God. And you know, you don't deal with God that way. He could burn that place down." That night, the place burned down exactly where I was standing.
Wow.
I was so scared. Because there was a bar, and there was a can there, and the last streets, it dumped it in the garbage, and it started the fire, and they closed. The thing burned down.
So what happened was, truly, you had a conversion into the kingdom of light, into, you know, what we call born again Christianese.
But
you came right out of darkness and so radically changed you that it propelled you into, you couldn't contain it anymore. Uh-huh. You had to share that message, and you just you didn't even know the evangelistic that was on you. You just share, every person should be sharing Jesus anyway. But this was your beginning forming days that you never even departed from here, even now at this time in your life, right? What's this hat you got on? Let's talk about that for the guys that are on camera.
Oh, okay.
What's this? Show the hat.
FBI, firm believer in Jesus. that's really, you know, a lot of Christians, you know, I asked a Christian guy, a friend, you want me to get you one? Oh, no, I won't wear that. But I'll tell you what, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care. I've had so many comments going to Walmart or Martin's, whatever, about had sat down with talking to people and praying for people because of that. But anyways,
it's a tool that God's using.
It's a tool, whatever.
So, guys, Herb is a man we've known for a while and definitely evangelist. But in those beginning days, as many of you, maybe with your callings, that God started you in something else, and you began to feel the needs of your community. Can you pick up the story from there as you started feeling the needs?
Actually, I want to jump in here. Before you did that, what were you doing? Just briefly, was your profession?
Okay, I had a heat. I bought a heat treating plant in New Britain, Connecticut, where you harden steel. And my partner and I, well, it's a long story, but my partner, we met. And anyways, he wanted to be my partner. The thing that I said to him at that time, I invited him over to the house. Him and his wife sat down after church. He had gone to church, Catholic church. And I was, anyways, we sat down. And I said, listen, I said, Bob was his name. I took my Bible. And I said, listen, I don't know what's from this cover to the back cover, of this book. But whatever it is, that's how we're going to run the business if you want to be my partner. If you can agree to that, you can be my partner. And she was a Catholic and he believed in the word. And so, yes. And it's amazing how the Lord had me do this, because there's a lot of little funny things that go on in business.
Yeah.
And I had to remind him a couple times,
integrity.
And so it was amazing. Anyways, we went to school at night school, and he took over the shop. There was 18 men working there. The owner, it was a real miracle. He wanted me to buy the business. He came to me and he said, I want you to buy my business. And I'd never, ever thought, because I was still depressed. I still had anxieties. And so he made me an offer that I hard to refuse. There was a $100,000+ in the account already, the work that was done. And there was work that was done that wasn't billed for about 50,000+. Now he's given me all of that.
Right.
And charged me $300,000 for the, for the business. So I really $150,000
really.
And he was going to stay with us for a year. So I bought it. We bought it. Now as soon as we bought it, he was going to stay with us for a year. About 2 months later, he was sick. He had cancer. Uh-huh. And he was if you'd meet him on the street or meet him at the bowling alley or whatever, the nicest guy you want to meet. But in business, he was like, and so he got, maybe because he was sick, but I came in and I'd say, good morning, John. What is so good about it? And he would really react. Mm-hmm. And so one day I said, listen, I'm not going to put up with this. I want to undo this and leave it. Oh, my God. He straightened out. But what happened is that he had cancer and it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. And so at the end, finally, I was able to share with him. Went to pray for him, and he wept, and he told me, he was an older man, but he told me, if I was going to start over, I would do what you do. I started at 9:00 every morning. I had put a sign out there that we're going to go behind the vacuum furnace and pray for about 5 minutes or so, just give the day to the Lord, and whoever wants to come, that's where I'm going to be. That's all I said. I put that on a board. The first time I go in back of the vacuum furnace, there was 3 Spanish guys, didn't understand English. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones that weren't there. My partner was there, and a whole bunch
all
of
the rest.
Men. Well, I mean, I couldn't believe it. So what I would do is just say, yeah, Father, and many of them didn't know what they were, but probably most of them probably didn't go to church. But I shared with them, and that, you know, that we have to work for a living, and that why not just give it over to God and pray, and God watch it over us. And so I would pray, say to our Father, then ask them if they had any needs or whatever, and then we go to work.
Yep.
Every day. And so, and it was so, I had two secretaries. One of them, the funny thing is that one of them was very kind of like an unbeliever, and she was kind of a little picky, trying to pick on me, you know. So one of the businessmen came in to see me, and he was a kind of like a stern kind of a person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the secretary comes out, we're going into prayer. And she says, Mr. So-and-so, he wants to see you. I said, tell him, you know, I'll be there in 5, 10 minutes, I'll be there. I'm going into prayer right now. So she comes up, he wants to see you now. Tell him to wait or he can leave. I'm going into prayer right now. Wow. And she told him, you know, what I was doing. And he was so struck with that I would not see him unless I go pray first. And when I came out, he was not happy, I could tell. But later on, he sold the business to his son. He lived in Florida. When he came out, he came to see me. And he said, I'll never forget you. What you did, it left an effect in my life. But, and so I've seen so many miracles there. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no matter where you're at.
So because you were faithful in business with the integrity and how you walked, God started to continue to grow that ministry.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
That's where Matt's coming in with, you know, the needs of the community that weighed heavily on you. So I know
a shift was coming in your life.
So you shifted and you actually left the business.
Well, what happened there, because the ministry was getting more and more, I was involved in the business and counseling there.
Uh-huh.
And so now, you know, I needed more. It's a real long story, but I don't want to get into too many details.
Nope.
It's probably
That's
easy
fine.
To do that. But I figured the Lord had called me, and I really didn't want to go. I was, you know, the full-time ministry, and I fought it. And the more I fought it, the more I felt like he's gone and I can't feel the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you, Lord?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I took time to come to Maine to pray. And I was like, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get God back on my side here. What's going on? And so
I
would love to fish. I couldn't even fish. I couldn't do. I went to my mother. I was in Maine. And so I'm in the van. I had a van, brand new van and stuff. And I'm on my knees praying. My pole is on the pond over. I had put my pole down. And all at once, the Lord gives me Revelation 3:8. So I said, Lord, if that's you, when I got to my mother, you know, I was a little stubborn here.
No.
You show me, Lord. You show me, or you remind me when I get to my mother. Sure enough, about 2 hours later, I get over my mother. My mother's a Christian. I sit in her chair, and her Bible was there, Revelation 3:8. I open it up. It said, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, for thou hast a little strength. And when I read, thou have a little strength, but you have not denied my name. Therefore, I'll open the door for you, no man can shut. And I was like, I took off. I went in the backyard, there, the pines, and I sat there crying. So, okay, Lord. So I get back and went back to Connecticut. I went to my partner. I said, listen, but before that, as a matter of fact, I'd spoken, you know, I had been invited to speak at a full gospel meeting. And I had gone. And I wondered about, Lord, I don't feel your presence. Why should I? Don't know if I want to go. And so finally I did. I went. The president is there. And I spoke, shared my testimony. Him and I were speaking. And all at once, a woman comes up. She comes beside me, and she's waiting. But I'm talking, I ignored her. Finally, she pulls my jacket and she says, the Lord gave me a scripture. You know, it was in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. I say, okay, good, thank you. You know, marked it down. She leaves. We keep on talking. Mm-hmm. All at once she comes mm-hmm. back, she's still there. She said, oh no, what does she want? You know? And she looks at me and says, I said, yes. She looks at me, she says, the Lord told me to tell you to read it now. I said, what the heck? So I opened my Bible, Revelation, you know, in Peter 28, yeah. It says, if you got your Bible here?
I can look it up, yeah.
I want to make sure I'm quoting the right one.
It's, what was it?
1 Peter, I think.
2:8?
2:8. I've set before you an open door.
That's not the one. Wasn't that?
That was in Revelation.
No, that was Revelation. But if it's, anyways, it actually said, it confirmed the call that he had called me to minister, to be a minister. And I kind of, oh my God. I finally took off from there and realized that he was calling me. And I finally went to Bob. I told him, I'm giving you the business. He looked at me. So we had all new offices upstairs. And the place was probably worth now around $600,000. And we, you know, brand new machines, and we had a lot of, and we had about 20 people working. So three shifts. So when I told him that, he shared with me about his sister. His family in Canada had come, and they heard me. We had a meeting. I shared with them, and a lot of them got saved. One of the women had a son that had a real problem, and the son was healed. And she went back home, and she, after, called her brother, Bob, and told him that she had a dream. She saw me in the right hand of God, and her brother, Bob, was in the left hand. And Jesus bent down, and he put me out. And that you stayed with the business. But he went out. And I believe she said to him, I believe Herb's going to full-time ministry. I didn't know that.
No, until later on.
Until later on.
Yeah.
And so now I turned it over to him, went to the lawyer, signed it, and took off from there. And that day I brought a brand new vehicle back, let go everything. I took an old vehicle. I went home, and it was like, all at once, it was like amazing. I should be everybody, Christian, my sister, you're crazy. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. No, it was like I was in, I was praising God.
It's like a weight came off of you,
everything,
because it was the right timing and everything.
And the presence of God was awesome. I got into the house. Of course, I sat with my wife. We talked about this, and everything was okay.
Right.
It was amazing. This wife of mine is an amazing woman.
She is.
She is something else, because I get emotional when I think about what she did, how she did it, how she let go, how she was. She saw the miracles take place. You know, as we were praying for my son one time, blisters disappeared before our eyes. Melissa's, you know, big boil on the back of her leg, laid hands on it, and I put oil on it, zip, disappeared right before our eyes. And she knew. And so, you know, my wife was always in agreement, just like when I sold the house.
That makes a big difference. Mm-hmm.
When I sold the house in Plantsville, God said to me, you're going to move back to Bristol. And I told my wife, hon, what do you think, you know, God said to me, I have to move back to Bristol. What do you think about selling the house? And she said, okay. You know, she went to get some rest. But I wanted to make sure. I sat in the table and I said, Lord, I know she said yes, but I want to be sure she's okay with it. Lord, I need a sign, whatever.
Yep.
Ding dong, front door. I lived in a dead-end street. I opened the door. The woman came in from a real estate person. She said, I don't know, something about this house. I was wondering if we're thinking about putting it on the market in the near future. Came in. I told my wife to come. They offered, and they looked at the house and valued the price. I brought it up by over $1,000. Anyways, in 2 weeks it was sold, and cash sale. And our kids could stay until the school was over. But things like that would just automatically happen, you know. Yeah.
You don't realize, I think, how much energy is expended fighting or wrestling against the will of God sometimes. When we do that, like the energy, the weight that we carry, trying to follow our own path and just resisting doesn't mean that we're bad people or we don't love God. But that call can be very, and it's good that we take the time to weigh it and know that we're hearing God. But man, that struggle ceases. Doesn't mean that other struggles don't come.
No.
I'm sure you faced a lot in the next 40 years of your journey.
It's unbelievable. But, see, there's a lot of, what happens to me often, even here, there's so many things God has done. I don't know where to go. There's so much that he's done.
Isn't that great?
But, you know, unbelievable thing. Now, I just talked to my grandson, Noah. Now, she had a child out of wedlock. She wasn't married, my youngest daughter. And I took care of them. We had a parsonage, but downstairs there was a room for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was so close to him. And, he was, dark-skinned. And I'll never forget one time watching Red Sox, he's laying on me. And he looks at me and he says, Pepe, I want to be white like you. And I said, no, are you kidding? Look at this. are you kidding? I want to be brown like you. He's not dark, man. It's a really, But I was able today, he's getting married. And I've never met the girlfriend, whatever, but he's getting married. And the Lord had put on my heart to talk to him about something before getting married. And his girlfriend, too. Wouldn't you know, his birthday is today. We called, and he had taken time to go. He's from in Washington. He's in the Navy. He came to Florida to meet his girlfriend and just spend a little time together. Mm-hmm. When I called, apparently I knew that I had to talk to him and her about their wedding. And I said, Lord, put it on my heart. And I said, oh, God. And I finally, I got on the phone with my cell phone. I called him back, and she was there. I said, tell her, put your speaker on your phone. I want to talk to both of you. I said, Noah, prepare. I'm serving God, but the Lord put something on my heart for you and Hope. Her name's Hope. I says, and I want to share it with you. I said, marriage, now you're going to look at each other and you're in love. It's great. But after marriage, you're going to have hard times here and there. And you're going to disappoint each other here and there. But it's just like a relationship with Christ. There's going to be times when things are not going to go so. Trouble will come. Mm. And what do? You keep seeking him for the strength, or do you walk away? Same thing with your marriage. And, I was able to, she thanked me for it. I don't know if she's a Christian, but it was really so good. And they want to come after they're married and come see us. But it's amazing that I wanted to do that, and how they came together from Seattle, from Washington, to get together in that exact time.
The timing, yeah.
Yeah. So these are things, The problem is so often we think about, okay, why why do Christians have problems? Why do we have problems? I really feel my problems got me closer to him, not further. People draw away with problems. I draw closer because it caused me to know him in a way I never knew him.
Because that's your choice that you made, right? There's
that's
two
right.
responses no matter what.
Yeah.
When we're coming to resistance, we can run the Adam syndrome, hide, run and hide.
That's right.
Run away. Yeah. Or draw closer into the protection, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a conversation that we're gonna have to have her back again, because we wanna talk about some other things in another session with you, if you'd come back again, about the pantry, food pantry that started, and that ministry there, and then just why that even started and all that. We want to talk about that in next session if you want to come back again.
This is why I say this too much.
Yeah.
So today, you're talking about a 40-year testimony.
Your journey of coming into the kingdom and then how God was moving on you with the call in the early days. Yeah. And some of you listeners out there and viewers might be in that place where Herb was describing 40 plus years ago, that things could be cloudy around you. You feel the tug of God inside your heart, but when you look up, everything looks dark. You don't even know which way to go or which way to turn. And you got to be sensitive to the Lord. I guess it's a time to be alert and just listen. And you'll learn to hear if you don't know how to hear. You will learn one way or another. And as you hear that obedience, faith, you talked about that. I mean, you did stuff you didn't even know, but sometimes ignorance way worked out good for you. You didn't know
I didn't know.
You didn't have to have like this big Bible school degree thing, and you were just sharing your heart. People were getting saved. It was awesome in those early days. And the call of God is like that. In the early days, you're coming, I believe in, sharpen your skills as you go, because you don't want to hurt people in the way. But at the beginning, you know, you're stepping out in faith and just, man, feeling your way. And you have the naysayers. People say you can't do it. But you know what? Surround yourself with people that will speak into your calling, speak into your potential, speak into your destiny, your future. And those type of people feed your faith. Because at the end of the day, it's just up to between you and God in making that decision to obey. Stepping out for you, it looked like, starting these groups, and then they just kept going to even leaving the business and all those kinds of things. For you, that was your journey. And some of you may be in a journey right now facing these similar type of things. And we definitely want to pray, I think, close this podcast with an awesome prayer, touching that thing that whoever's listening to this, that this applies to, is going to say, you know what? I feel confident I can take my next step.
And what I love about your story, Herb, is that it didn't happen when you were 20, and that's okay. But God wasn't done with you, and wash his hands of you because, he's too old now. And I know, from my perspective, 39, 40 is not old. But sometimes when you get to that point, and you've got a career, and you've got, your family and everything, you think it's too late.
It's too late.
That water has already passed under the bridge, but it's never too late to follow the call of God on your life.
Amen. Check 1 Peter 1:12.
1 Peter 1:12.
Back to it.
I want to make sure.
1 Peter 1:12. I actually have it in the New Living Translation, so it's probably going to be different than what you're used to. But be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. If they accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your honorable behavior. Is that the one?
In the business.
And give honor to God.
No, that's not the one.
That's a good one.
Maybe that one's for somebody out there.
There you go.
Somebody's out there. Somebody, be careful.
Oh, that's great.
Let's close in prayer. Let's pray.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
You're a guest. Let's pray for those individuals that the Lord's just working with right now.
Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord. You're such an awesome God.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a wretch like me and turn him around and bring something out of it that I never could imagine. Even as I look back at my story and the things that I've done, Lord, I'm drawn to tears and to see how did that ever happen?
Yes,
The flesh cannot comprehend the things of God. For the obedience in Christ will bring us into a place we never thought we'd be and cause us to do things we never thought we could. For it's the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart that should be leading every step of the way. Father, I thank you for everyone listening, that they can open their hearts to visions. But without visions, we perish. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that everyone listening would be able to understand that if God is for them, then who could be against them? Bless everyone, Lord, at the sound of my voice, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So be looking for a future podcast. We're going to delve into the evangelistic side that we've just, you got introduced to a journey, and you'll understand why he is the way that he is. And we're going to be talking about that in another episode. So look forward to that. Thank you for joining with us. Lord bless you.
Amen.